Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Greg Wyshynski is the senior ESPN writer covering the NHL, and he joins us here. We will get to the Caps in a moment, but seriously, is there anything more exciting than a seventh game overtime in the NHL playoffs? I mean, this is your thing, but even for just a sports fan, it's incredible, and last night was really exciting.
Not for the teams that lose.
We got an issue with Greg's phone. Every once in a while this happens with our connection, so we will reestablish the connection. But the Rangers last night, in a 3-1 comeback in that series, they trailed Pittsburgh in the series 3-1. Crosby missed some time, but he was back last night. 4:46 into overtime last night on the power play. They got a goal to oust Pittsburgh 4-3. Do we have Greg back? All right, Greg.
Hello?
We got you now, and you sound normal, which is
okay.
Which is good for you. Yeah, which is good for you. All right, incredible game last night. Incredible series, right? Incredible first round of the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, for a number of reasons. I mean, not the least the fact that we had so many game sevens, which is pretty intense and pretty amazing. But also, obviously, from an offensive perspective, it was the highest scoring, you know, it's on track to be one of the highest scoring playoffs that we've had since the early 1990s. And that was kind of a question coming in, you know, what was it going to look like after we had a regular season with the highest goals per game average since 95-96? Was it going to carry over? What it was going to look like? And I think it's safe to say that not only has it carried over, but it's actually got up. So some of the game sevens were a little bit tighter, obviously, than the rest of their series had been. But for the most part, we're still seeing incredible amount of goal scoring for a Stanley Cup playoff.
Have we ever seen two game sevens same night both go to overtime like last night?
That's a question for the stat boys.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. But it is a thrilling thing. I was at the Ranger game last night against the Penguins. And you know, that game it was fun because the games the previous night, I think, were a bit more practiced and measured, right? Like, I think that the Leafs Lightning game was a study in execution and effectiveness. And the Oilers game against the Kings was this game in which the Oilers played probably their best defensive game of the series. And the Kings really couldn't get anything going. And then last night, I thought that the Penguins-Rangers game was very much more in the mode of, like, cuckoo bananas playoff games of, like, you know, controversial goal reviews and you know, a guy who hadn't played since mid-April starting game seven after missing the entire series with an injury. Like, it was definitely much more in the narrative greatness of what the Stanley Cup playoffs bring versus kind of what we saw the previous night. And then obviously in the Calgary game, you get a different, you know, taste of storytelling, which is the Jake Oettinger performance last night, which was one for the ages.
Yeah,
I mean, just incredible and not easy saves. I mean, you know, like I think Daryl Sutter, the Flames coach, said the other night, said last night, you know, when you get 100 shot attempts on somebody, you probably should win the game. And that's kind of where Oettinger was. So it was, you know, 2 days of really good hockey, but I think day two was more my style of big storylines and incredible performances.
We'll get to the Caps here in a moment. Did you think that Gensel goal should have stood? It seemed to me the stick was above the crossbar, which, and it was an incredible play, just the hand-eye, foot-eye with, you know, him using his skate to kick the puck up into the air. I thought that was going to get overturned. What did you think?
Well, a lot of us have often talked over the years whether the NHL should have a provision on for awesomeness. You know, if you score a goal, it looks really wicked awesome. It should just stand. You should just be able to. You know, there should be a provision that overrules any rule in the rule book, and that would be the case last night. But it's tough to say. You know, that it's not where your stick is, it's where you strike the puck. And so the sense I got in asking around last night was that maybe some people thought that the NHL thought the replay was inconclusive insofar as being emphatic enough to overrule what was ruled on the ice. But the NHL's ruling officially was that they felt that he did not strike the puck with a high stick, which, again, looking at the replay and all the available angles to us, I'm not quite sure if that's accurate. But they let it stand, and it ended up being one of the best goals of the postseason. That was an incredible feat of coordination by Gensel.
Yeah. One more before we get back to the Caps. The disappointment of Toronto, you know, having the opportunity the other night in overtime to close out Tampa Bay in Game 6 and being up 3-2 in that series and still now not having won a series since 2004. Is Tampa just better?
I get a little
some
dog
activity, but I think we've got a disagreement on the Gensel goal.
Yeah, clearly. Obviously somebody likes underdog. The thing about Toronto, and again, like I tweeted this out after the series was done, is like I'd run it back. I just don't understand the idea of trying to look at this season and say, okay, you know, they've not gotten out of the first round for I think it's now been 4 or 5 years, and obviously with this one should be the breaking point. I mean, if last year wasn't the breaking point where they squandered a 3-1 lead against Montreal, you know, this doesn't mean that this one should be the breaking point because they lost to a 2-time Stanley Cup champion in a Game 7. I mean, it happens, right? Should they kick themselves for not closing out the series in 6? Definitely. They had an opportunity to, but the Lightning or the Lightning. I saw a lot of this series. I saw a lot of the Boston-Carolina series. I think if Boston played Toronto, the Leafs would be in the second round right now. They just happen to run into a team that is one of the most efficient playoff assassins that we've had come down the pike in a very long time. And they found a way to get through. And so, you know, are there changes you could make? Yeah, I think there are. I think you could take a look at the defense and wonder if maybe you could move off of Morgan Riley. You could probably take a look at John Tavares and wonder if there's a way to move on from him. Because I didn't think that signing was all that smart to begin with, because I felt it was sort of redundant. With Austin Matthews being on the roster. But if you wanted to run it back with the same crew with some augmentation next season, I'd have no problem with it because they were such a great team in the regular season and they just ran into an opponent that knew how to beat them.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN, at Wyshynski, Wyshynski on Twitter. All right, the Caps got eliminated by the Panthers on Friday night at home in overtime. Another Carter Verhaeghe goal in overtime to win it. Before we get to sort of the big picture on the Caps, is it accurate to say that this series could have gone either way and the Caps were dead even in the way they played with the Panthers over 6 games?
I think the Capitals did a good job getting the Panthers to sort of doubt themselves a little bit in the series. And the Mid is a really bad job in the sense that they allowed the Panthers to reclaim their identity. And by that, I mean, when the Capitals had them dead to rights, I believe it was Game 4, correct? When they had the lead that they blew.
3-0 in Game 5. Game 4 was the 2-1 that they allowed them to tie.
In both games, they blew the lead, but that's right. In particular, Game 4, to allow the Panthers to rally to tie the game and then to allow the Panthers to win the game, I think kind of gave the Panthers what they needed insofar as proof of concept. Like, okay, we're still this team that if we get down early against somebody, we're going to be able to come back because our offense isn't going to fail us. We're going to find someone to score. We're going to find that hero. We're going to find our game again. And I thought game four was the real key to the series in the sense of like, okay, now we've got some proof of concept. So when they get down 3-0 in game five, well, then they come roaring back and win the game, like without missing a beat. That's what we saw from them all regular season. So I kind of feel like the Cavs did a pretty good job in some cases in this series. But they really kind of just allowed the Panthers to figure themselves out in a way that really efficient playoff teams shouldn't, and gave them enough time and space to sort of recapture that vibe in the regular season. And I think that's where they lost the series.
So big picture, what's next? You know, it's an aging team, obviously, in spots, but Ovechkin's going to set the goal-scoring record in a Caps uniform. I think we all understand that, whether it takes, two more years or three more years. That's certainly the plan. But what do you think is the best course for this organization moving forward to get out of this fourth, this situation they've been in where they've been ousted in four straight first rounds since winning the cup?
Yeah, where do they go from here? I think Brian McClellan hit the nail on the head, which is that there definitely needs to be some turnover on the roster in some places. Obviously, you're hoping to get a little younger, maybe a little bit faster in some places. The goaltending situation is fascinating because I know he mentioned that it's a place that might get addressed. I mean, they're not going to be alone in that. And I'm not sure if there are as many options available to them as there were last offseason for a lot of these teams. We saw a goalie carousel really, really spinning. So I don't know. I mean, they've got a lot of contracts that are going to be tough to move. And they've got a core of a team that obviously likes each other, wants to figure things. And it's just really interesting to look at the Caps and look at the Penguins and see such a parallel track where they lose last night to the Rangers and all the conversation to, okay, Malkin's a free agent, Letang's a free agent, Rust's a free agent. Is this the end of the run? And the Capitals obviously contractually aren't at that point yet, but you have to wonder spiritually if they're both kind of in the same place right now.
On the goaltender thing, because McClellan did say this, that this is a priority for them, how hard will it be to either to trade for somebody or sign one here in the offseason?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like last offseason, we had a slew of goalies that were free agents, and then we had a number that were available. I mean, I think it was an obscene number, like over a dozen. Goalies changed team last offseason, and some of them, fairly big names. I mean, we're talking about Fleury, we're talking about Grubauer, we're talking about, Darcy Kemper going to the Colorado Avalanche. So, some of it is going to be contingent on who's available, and sometimes the salary cap is going to maybe necessitate that or escalate it. I mean, you're going to see names like Alexander Grigoriev, for example, the Rangers, I think will finally move on from that team. Knowing that he's never going to get the starting job there with Shishkin there. So it'll be interesting to see who's available, but there definitely will be the chance to upgrade, given that every team seems to have two goalies. It's just a matter of, what the asset management looks like in acquiring a goalie and whether you really believe that it will be an upgrade over Samsonov or Vanecek.
What about a big name player that they might move on from? I was reading a lot over the weekend about Lars Eller. I was reading a lot about John Carlson, who obviously has the offensive, production, but has the huge contract. Do you think there's a chance they move on from, a big name player in the offseason?
I think there's always a chance, especially given the stagnation of their success in the playoffs and knowing that in order to break out of that, you probably have to make a significant move. And in order to make a significant move, you have to move a significant player. Eller, I think, is entering the last year of his deal, if memory serves, which I think is probably why, everybody goes to Cap Friendly and looks at the contracts and says, okay, this guy should be moving, but he does so many good things for them. It's hard to really think that they'd improve themselves all that much by moving on from him. Carlson's an interesting name only because what he does, even if it's not exactly the most defensively efficient play. What he does is such a rare asset in this league insofar as quarterbacking the power play, insofar as moving the puck, and all of the things that make John Carlson Jordan Carlson, that it is kind of intriguing to think, okay, if somebody believes that's the last piece of their puzzle, what would they offer up for it, and how could that help repopulate this roster in the way the Capitals want to? I think that's at least an intriguing option for them, although, again, when you think about what is best for this team, is it to keep this core together until it completely just falls apart physically.
All right, two more for Greg Wyshynski. Like, what is the future of the Capitals? Like, if they largely run it back with the most notable of players, is this still, like, you know, an after top five Eastern Conference team at best?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I don't think all of a sudden they're going to start rocketing up the standings, especially with what looks like a really good run for the Hurricanes and Rangers for the next few years, based on the age of their core and, you know, everything else that's making those teams successful, in particular the Rangers. But you know, I think where they are right now is sort of that post contender tier that we see teams like the Penguins, for example, on, which is to kind of just get in, right, and then see what happens. And in the Penguins' case, they came one goal away from it working, which is, you know, to their credit. The Capitals didn't. But I think when your core is this age, when you've got these contracts in your books, when you're clearly in the you know, sunset years of the careers of some of the biggest stars that we've had in the league in the last 20 years, it's kind of a weird place to be. You could maybe, like, aggressively reshape the roster around some of these guys. But, I mean, if we're being honest with ourselves, like you said, the next couple of years are going to be about Ovi breaking the record, and then the next thing will happen for this franchise. And that's okay. I've seen a lot of criticism of, like, Capitals fans lately, and I don't quite understand it, about, like, not about being, you know, content or something with the way that the current state of the team. And I'm like, the afterglow of the cup is still there. I mean, I think if we're being honest, and they're in the last stages of watching the greatest player that will ever play for the franchise assaulting what was seen as an unbreakable record. And if that's okay, then who cares? Right? Like, I think we all know that until Ovechkin's not playing here, this team's going to be a certain thing. And then when he's not playing here anymore, it'll be the next thing.
Yeah, I think it's that, you know, you'd much rather have what you had, but at the same time, you'd much rather have more. I mean, even if
sure.
It was just one cup, it would have been nice over these, you know, many years now, if maybe they made at least two or three other Eastern Conference finals rather than having every other season be a season that they didn't get out of the second round.
Right. No, but I understand that. But I also think that that's sort of moving the goalposts a little bit, as my friend Japers Rink said the other day, which is that for years we were obsessed with Ovi winning a cup. Got to win a cup. You know, when he goes to the Hall of Fame, what a heartbreaker it will be
right.
If he has to go in without having won. And then he wins one, and now we're like, well, you know, legacy-wise, boy, we wish we could have had two. And that might be true, but, like, I mean, he did the thing. They did the thing. They won the cup. They won the cup with Ovechkin on the team. And I think that when you look at this franchise and you look about how hard it is to win the cup, and you think about the, you know, there were years when, yeah, you can point to it and say they blew it, like against Montreal and some of those other disappointing losses. But you also had the Penguins, which was a dynastic team in that decade, standing in front of you. And then, you know, they get through them and they win the cup. And I don't know, man. Like, I just think that there are so many franchises in this league that struggle every single year. We just talked about Toronto, right? To even play in a championship round, let alone win the Stanley Cup. And then the Capitals do it. And I don't know if there should be any disappointment in the latter years of the Ovechkin era, because they accomplished something that very few teams can. And I think that's fantastic.
Well, it's a far different conversation, obviously, that because they won the cup. I mean, the conversation,
sure,
had they not won the cup, you know, about not only Ovechkin, but the franchise would be far different. I think part of it is just, you know, following the cup, four straight first-round losses. Like, I think maybe the conversation with the fans that you're talking about, and this isn't me because I'm not a hardcore fan, but it would be different if there was, you know, a second round loss, a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals, and 2 first round losses. It would seem a little bit different, but it's been 4 straight in the first round and following the Cup. For me, though, like it seems like 4 years ago was only a year ago. So I hope you're right that the afterglow of that still is a part of the conversation, because it doesn't seem that long ago.
But you bring up an interesting point, which is kind of a philosophical conundrum for a sports fan, which is that, would you rather see your team compete every year and make the playoffs, or would you rather see them go in the tank and cycle back? And the juxtaposition between what the Capitals did, which is to compete every year, is the Los Angeles Kings, where, you know, the Kings won a couple Stanley Cups. The core of that team, Kopitar, Gowdy, Quick, Brown, until this season because he's retiring, remained there. They went in the tank. They disappeared from the playoffs for more than a few years, and they built up this collection of prospects that is now one of the best in the league. And so they had a window, and it might extend the next season, to kind of have the youth and the veterans click at the same time, right? And the Capitals decided not to do that. And so philosophically, I think it's worthy of a conversation of, like, you know, once you realize that, you know, after like the second year losing in the first round, maybe you take a step back to make a leap forward. But at the same time, if you're a Capitals fan, and if you're the Capitals, and you know, seeing the coffers of your season ticket and single game ticket money, you know, filled every year by being competitive, you know, is it the better decision to just try to get in it and win it versus taking a step back and then trying to take a leap forward?
Yeah, it's like one of those things that we always debate as sports fans. It's like, it's so much easier to answer after the fact, because going into it, I think everybody would say sustained success. I mean, over the next, you know, let's make the playoffs, you know, for the next 8 straight years and take a swing at it. But if you go 0-for-8 and you never win the Cup, then you're asked the question, no, I'll take the Cup in only 4 playoff trips. I mean,
you don't want to be like the old LA Clippers, right? You don't want to, like, a better example, the old St. Louis Blues, right? They're just like made the playoffs every year and they're just there. It's a cameo appearance and nothing ever comes of it. In the Capitals case, something came of it, right? So I think that there's a legit question to be asked of, maybe after you do that, you take a step back and retool, or maybe it's tough to really gauge when you should do it. I mean, for goodness sakes, I don't think after they won the Cup, anyone would have predicted this run of first round losses, for example, but there definitely is a template for it from other teams in this league to keep an aging core together and then, you know, take a step back for a couple of years and try to build around them.
Yeah, and there's a difference even in what you discussed, which is, you know, just being the perennial playoff team that really isn't threatening. The Caps have been, you know, the favorites multiple times after great regular seasons. So that also puts context to it. Like, if you're making the playoffs every year and ultimately don't win the Cup, but you were great and you were legitimately there, it creates incredible angst and disappointment after the fact. But you had legitimate chances when you got there. And, the NHL, I think everybody has a legitimate chance when they get there anyway. You and I have talked about that for years. But,
but
I think the context with Washington wasn't just that they were a playoff team all these years that they didn't win the Cup. It's that they were legitimate contenders in most of those years going into the postseason.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, I think, I mean, contenders, being a contender is obviously like in the eye of the beholder. I mean, they come into the series against the Panthers. And I think probably the majority of the punditry probably picked the Panthers in the series. And,
sure.
I'm not quite sure what the betting market told us beforehand or what have you. But it's an interesting discussion to have as far as like what their modus operandi should have been in the last 4 years. But I don't know. It's hard for me to really, even with these playoff losses, it's hard for me to really kind of frame anything that's happening with this franchise as being disappointing, because it was just what they achieved.
All right, I think you still have your Stanley Cup champion alive, and that is Florida. I think you picked them over the Wild, right, in the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, the Wild didn't make it. No. The Wild was a tough one because I really thought that based on the analytics that I saw that they were going to be able to get by the Blues. What I didn't anticipate was Fleury not playing to his standards, and Dean Evason, who I think is a really good coach, kind of fumbling the bag with his goaltending. I think Talbot probably should have started that series, and then you go to Fleury if you need him. But I think when you have Fleury and you've made that trade and he's Fleury, they probably felt that he should start game one. And it's not necessarily where they lost the series. I think the Blues played extraordinarily well, but they didn't help themselves with that decision, I don't think.
Thanks for doing this, as always. That was a great night of hockey last night. Disappointing for the Caps on Friday night, but we'll talk again soon. Thanks, Greg.
You got it. Thank you.
Yep. Greg Wyshynski, everybody, senior NHL writer at ESPN, at Wyshynski, Wyshynski, on Twitter. I want to tell you about Loan Pronto. If you're shopping for a new home, the last thing you want is another surprise jump in mortgage rates. I'm excited to tell you about Loan Pronto's all-new rate protection program. You get a rate quote that is locked in for 90 days. Brian and Amy did it. They locked in an APR in the threes with Loan Pronto. When they finally found a home to put an offer in on, a month later, rates had already jumped into the fours. Many of you are dealing with this right now. They were protected thanks to Loan Pronto, and they saved over $200 a month on their payment. With Loan Pronto's rate protection guarantee, you can make offers with confidence, and there's no fee for this, no upfront cost. And most home buyers who go with Loan Pronto, they save about $3,000 in closing costs. Call now for the all-new rate protection program so you can check rate increases off the list of things to worry about. Call them at 571-775-1810 or go to loanpronto.com. That's 571-775-1810, 571-775-1810. They're an equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval, NMLSconsumerAccess.org.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.